All right. So, you know, Russ, thank you for joining me, man. Like, I'm really, really excited about this. And for my audience and stuff, guys, if you're a fan of talk radio, this is going to be definitely an interview that you're going to want to listen to. And I was very honored that you wanted to come on. Excuse my stereotypical green screen in the background and everything. I wish that I had all the cool memorabilia like you have. Now, can I ask you, the monster banner behind you, is that the one you used to put up all the time?
Yeah, same one there when you were there. Yeah, same exact one. Yeah.
What would be your favorite piece of monster memorabilia that you have? The one that make sure you show everybody first.
Man, that's a good question. Well, I got to tell you, I like this. Hold on, let me just see it.
The NSYNC promo shot picture.
Yeah, and it's got a bunch of, not all of them, but it's got a bunch of our CDs and stuff. It's got a, you know, it's got.
That was one in the green room, right? That was one that was in the green room for a little bit.
Yeah, that was in the green room. I like that a lot. I think my favorite actually probably would be from when you remember. I'm pretty sure you wrestled. When I wrestled with Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see it. I've got everything.
Yeah, I can see it there. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
That might be my favorite. That's pretty cool. Because you wrestled as evil Dr. Nerdcock, which by the way,
it was a ladder match between me, Whopper, wearing an Elvis costume. I think he came out in your dad's like coonskin coat or whatever.
Yeah. And then
Drunky, that's where he jumped off the second floor of that parking garage.
I got to tell you that was one of my, like, when it comes to my highlight in life, you know, mm-hmm. I got to tag team with Dusty Rhodes. Like when I was a kid, that was my hero. And I got to win the match in front of, they were estimating 10,000 people were down there.
Church Street. Rehab was on Church Street, I think.
That was pretty cool. But I wanted to go back to Evil Dr. Nerdcock. Just so you know, one of my favorite bits and characters of all time. And for those that don't know what that was, when Tuttle was with us, we had, I don't forget what it was, but we're like, we're throwing you off the show.
It was a stunt off at the baseball field. Oh. It was for a Miss Monster. It was against me and Whopper, and I lost. Really, and that was when I jumped off the ladder. Remember, you guys made fun of me? I jumped off the ladder, and I thought, oh, it wasn't great the first time, so I'm going to try it again and just make everybody else. I'm just going to try to sell it more. And I think I did it three times, and then I just gave up and I lost, and it was a stunter leaves the show. Can never start again.
So about 2 weeks later, Tuttle comes back in dressed like a surgeon. And I'm like, who is this? I'm the evil Dr. Nerdcock. His voice didn't change at all. It was but you were meaner, like really mean. Cause I know
everything was evil. Remember, I think we had a bake sale one time and I was like, I'm going to make evil bear claws to sell at the bake sale or whatever. But do you remember the origin? Because you've done so much content and I know like you've probably forgot about more bits and stuff that were big, but it's throwaway. Like, what we do for a living in radio, it's like it's throwaway content. It's not like we're construction people and we can look at, hey, I built this at the end of the day. When you leave, you are already working on the next show because that was just, it's thrown in the garbage now.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, it's funny when you said that though, it kind of rung in my bell. Is like, I can look back and see, man, I built this thing called the Monsters. You know, I've got that. And when I see that logo, it's like, wow, we built that. But you're right, as far as a show, you do a show today, we made you laugh. Oh, now we got to do it again tomorrow. And doing that for 30 years is, you're right. I have forgotten so, and I meet so many people that are like, Russ, you met me at this particular thing. And I hate the fact that I a lot of times can't remember some of the stuff.
I have that all the time, man. And I know like you meet so many people and you don't ever want to offend people, but you always feel like, oh my God, are they mad? Are they upset? Were they offended that I didn't remember them and stuff? Do you ever get that way?
Oh my God. It's one of the, you know, there's a lot of things I get mad at myself for. And one is the things that I do remember and the things that I don't remember. And sometimes there's like really important people and I can't remember their names, even in our building. People have been working at the radio station for like, I had a long time. I struggled with a buddy of ours, Brian Grimes. I couldn't remember his name. I'd see Brian.
XL.
I know him pretty well now, but there was a time when I just did. And there were several people. I'm like, I can't remember their names. And it's a big flaw of mine. I hate it.
Do you remember the original origin of the evil Dr. Nurcock? Because I had done that character maybe a couple of years before and I brought it back. Do you remember the origin? See, this is why I'm asking, because, you know, it's so much stuff.
I remember it was funny, and I know I loved it, and I think it was hilarious, but I don't remember where the
earth was. So you sent us out. They were doing this wrestling stuff, and this is when SBK was still on the show and me, and they were doing something at Universal, and you had me dress up as him, and he was the Rowdy Roddy Negro.
You couldn't even do that now, but that's right. No,
you can't do that now.
Yeah, but so you went out to the wrestling thing, and it was TNT or TNA wrestling,
yeah.
And they were just starting up, and you took a chop from the Demon.
Yeah, the Demon and Bam Bam Bigelow. He broke SBK's foot. You remember Kevin didn't, and I love Kevin, so I'm not saying, but you know, you made me guys lick his feet one time. He didn't have the best feet there for a while, but Bam Bam Bigelow stomped on his foot, broke his big toe, and he was holding Kevin. And at the same time, Bam Bam Bigelow, he works stiff though. He's one of those guys. He does not like really play around.
Yeah. And I was, it's funny because I was talking to my buddy Dale Tordberg, who was the Demon, and he brought up, because do you remember when I was slapping Tuttle? Man, he was giving me the flare chops. And he goes, I did not hold back, and that shit hurt, didn't it?
This shit did hurt. You know, the one time that it wasn't a long-term injury that I had, but you remember the first time we did a Miss Monster out at Bruce Rossmeyer, and we had a wrestler by the name of the Asian Giant. He choke slammed me on my back, and he did not give me any leeway. Like, and whoever set up that ring, it had no give. Yeah. And I landed on my back. I broke three ribs on the left side. And you ever had the air knocked out of you when you've done the wrestling and stuff, or, you know, you can't catch your breath?
It sucks. I think for the bit you're talking about too, wasn't it where like I came in to save the day or something?
Yes, you did.
And I was punching, and I actually tore something in my hand. Which was one of the reasons, not the main reason, but one of the reasons I stopped playing the drums, because I had torn a ligament in there from that fight, because it was, you know, fake fight, obviously. But I was really punching the guy because I'm like, look, let's make it look real. And I think it was a shoot match.
You were shooting on it. You guys weren't holding any punches back. So you brought that up. You know, you injured yourself, and I'm gonna, because I got questions and stuff, and I was trying to be a good radio host to segue them and everything. But has there ever been anything that iHeart or Clear Channel told you that you couldn't do? Like, I mean, something that you might have been like, even if it was like a promotion or a bid or something you wanted to do, or I wanted to do this bid on the show, or, you know, you doing wrestling and stuff. Was there anything, because they have an investment in you. Was there anything they were like, nope, you can't do that, Russ?
Nothing like that. What comes to mind, and actually, I don't know if it was Clear Channel at the time. It might have been with Paxson, but this is a true story. When you say they told me not to do something, they told me at the beginning, don't bring in that Savannah character. Don't bring in that Bubba character. They're no good. People, you know, they just sound stupid. Don't bring them in. They don't have, we don't have enough money to pay them. And I would go, okay, yeah, sure. And then a couple of weeks later, I'd have them come back in, and we came up with creative ways to get them paid, and did CDs and all this kind of stuff. But I was told several times to not let Bubba and Savannah come in. And, you know, there was a time when those were two of our most popular characters, you know, so they were wrong. They told me not to have a website whenever they first started. Just recently, I wanted to do the YouTube channel and do the YouTube channel live for the whole show. And you know, nothing against her or whatever. Linda Bird didn't want me to do that and broadcast the entire show.
And now it's humongous.
It's huge. Yeah. Yeah.
So that leads me to my next question. You've been in radio for 30 years. What are some of the biggest changes? Because you got to evolve as a host or as an entertainer and stuff. So how I want to get from you and in your opinion on how radio has changed and how you've had to evolve through the years, because you've also had a lot of different casts as well, too. So you've actually had three different levels of what you've had to do throughout your radio career.
Yeah. Well, biggest change would be social media, obviously. And and social media now is part of what we do. It's not just, you know, it's as if the trick of getting ratings isn't hard enough and doing a funny show every day isn't hard enough. Now it's like, hey, you got to put stuff on TikTok, which I could care less about. Instagram. Mm-hmm. We do a lot with our YouTube channel, and I'm comfortable with that. Facebook, I guess, is not as cool as it used to be, but I still put stuff on that and Twitter. So the pressure to do social media is much greater. There's a whole department for it now. And when I first wanted a website, they were like, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? Concentrate on the radio. And now it's totally changed.
And Russ, though, but I you bring that up. I remember the last time I was on the show in 2014. Yeah, I remember when I was on the show originally when they started concentrating on web hits. Like, they would come to you every single, all right, what are we going to do? We got to reach this number and da 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 da.
It's a lot worse now.
But I mean, now you guys get bonuses and stuff, right? Like, I mean, you have quotas and everything that you get, and that's a very important thing.
Yeah, it is. The problem with it is, it's like one of the reasons I have problems sometimes with team sports, and I like wrestling better, because wrestling, you could worry about winning or losing. The problem is like the entire cluster has to do well, so it's not just the monsters.
Hey,
so
it's not just a show.
We got to worry about what the Christian station is doing, or the sports state. Like, they all.
Hey, it's a whole cluster. It's a whole cluster.
And guess who's pulling the weight for the cluster?
You guys are. Man, that's crazy, man. So you do that. So that's one of the big things of having to evolve. How has radio changed, in your opinion, though?
Well, I mean, obviously, man, we've had to change several different times. Right after the whole Janet Jackson thing, we had to clean up certain things. And I remember we were in a meeting with a lawyer, and they're like, listen, you guys, the sexual stuff, you're going to have to cut it all out. You can still do the racist stuff if you want to, which is true story. Jimmy probably can tell you the same thing. Racist jokes, those are fine. But I mean, anything sexual, you got to stop. And obviously, you can't.
That changed too.
Do anything that's even, you know, as a joke racist. And I don't think we've ever done anything. I know we've never done anything that was malicious, that had any hate behind it. But obviously, we told a lot of jokes that were definitely off color.
Our questionable racist jokes were at least creative, if you were
that's
saying
what that. That's where I'm going with it all. But you go back and listen to some of that stuff now, and you're like, whoa, you can't do that. You know,
what did you get into the trouble the most in your radio career, where, you know, like Linda and maybe Chris? I know Linda's not there. I know Chris is not there. What's the worst you've ever gotten in trouble for something?
For on air stuff?
Yeah. There's so much of it, though. It's probably hard.
There were times where they call me into the office. Hey, man, you guys are going over the line there. There were interviews that we did where it was kind of over the line with some of the stuff. I mean, that, you know, whenever you're pushing the limits like we did, you're going to get, I wouldn't say trouble, though. I've always been treated with the utmost respect. I mean, Chris Kantmeyer would call me in and just say, hey, this could get you. It was almost like they were always on our team. Hey, look, this could get you in trouble. Look out. Linda Bird was the same way.
You were making money for the station. I mean, if you weren't as good as, and you guys weren't having as high as ratings as you guys were having, and we were having, I can say we, because I was, but as that we were having and stuff, I mean, do you think that gave you more leeway?
Oh, without a doubt. When we were, I mean, you know, at that, we were in the mid days, it was a definite phenomenon, you know, I mean, and not to say it's not now, because now the phenomenon is even bigger because we've been doing it for so long, and that's unheard of. But when we first hit, you know, big, and there was no internet, people couldn't see us and what we looked like. They couldn't, you know, so if they wanted to see us, they had to come to Monster Ween or Miss Monster, and we'd draw, you know, 5,000-6,000 people. And of course, that made the radio station, you know, go, oh, my God. I'm sure success helps to, you know, make some leeway. But, like, I never tried to upset anyone in management, you know. I mean, there were things, you know, there was back behind the scenes stuff. They, you know, as you know, when Savannah and I were dating and we broke up, and there was a whole bunch of stuff there. That was stuff that was, problematic. But we worked it all out.
But that, I mean, that could have easily been even more of a problem if that would have happened in today's, society, right? Like,
it could have been then, but Savannah's a really good person, you know, and I think I'm a really good person, and we worked it all out. Either one of us could have been a real asshole and made it worse, but it didn't happen that way, you know?
You know that the most uncomfortable, me and Kevin had a process in the morning. We had to get everybody's food order. We would have to go down and get you a cup of ice and a large styrofoam cup so you could put your water and stuff in it. And we were riding up in the elevator. And I remember before I even heard about, you know, the breakup and everything, Savannah like cornered me and Kevin in the elevator that time and told us about, you know, hey, this might be an uncomfortable show today. And I was and it just made us uncomfortable as interns at the time, because we were like, hey, we're just going to stay in the office and edit things for the rest of the day and stuff. But how is Savannah doing? Now, I'm so proud of her and everything with the Gatorland and what she's doing.
The day I met her, I realized that she was very special. And that's why I kept her around no matter what management said or whatever. She is a special person. She's got that extra, you know, light around her. And she is doing so great right now. And I'm very happy for her. I mean, like, and we're still, you know, very good friends, you know, and she still comes on the show once or twice a week or whatever, but she is,
she's blowing up, man. Like her TikTok, everything. I mean, she,
very happy I'm for so her. Happy. Couldn't be prouder of her. She's a hard worker. She's unique. She thinks outside of the box. She's different. And some people like to think that she's stupid. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen.
No, she's not. She's not.
That is not a stupid person. she's smart.
I know this might be a way out. How's Gage doing?
He's doing great, man. You know, it's so funny is my sister taught sign language, and when he was young, she kind of taught him a little sign language. That's what he does for a living now.
No kidding.
Yeah, he does sign language, and he's like one of the best in the country. He's doing really well. He's got a son, and I keep up with him. And
he was important to you, right? I mean, I saw the connection between you and Gage, growing up and stuff, and being on the show and everything. It's kind of nice. It's nice to hear.
I've got nothing but love for him. I had two other stepsons that I have nothing but love for. But when you get a divorce, you know, a lot of times, or you break up or whatever, that connection sometimes just can't stay. And nothing against the kid. I mean, I would be there if they wanted to speak, but you know, sometimes the mother doesn't want you to. It's kind of a weird thing. So, but no, I keep up with him. I keep up with the other two stepsons. I don't talk to them actually, but I keep. That one of my stepsons is now playing for UCF.
I did see that. He kicked the field goal, didn't he?
He's a freshman. He got in the very first game, it was the second game, but it was his first game, and kicked the 41 yard field goal. And he's a walk on freshman. And look, I haven't talked to him, but I watch him from afar, and I wish him love and luck.
You know, I'm also very happy for you because I see, you know, all these posts, you and your wife are going out doing RVing and the camping and stuff, going around to places. You guys, I think you just went to Alaska, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a week-long trip, a cruise to Alaska, which was awesome. It was really cool.
So I'm so happy for you. But so, you know, a lot of people know, like, you've been married a lot of times through your through your life and everything. How did radio play a part in any part of those relationships maybe not working. Now, I'm not asking you to talk bad or anything. I'm not trying to dig up dirt or anything like that. But are some people just a little bit more suited to being married to a radio guy, a host that lives his life on the air a lot?
Well, let's say this. A lot of it's probably my fault for picking people that like I thought, you know, were looking at the relationship in a certain way. And maybe they were kind of really attracted to what they thought was local fame or maybe they weren't really ready to be married. But yeah, plays a lot to it, because once you get in this, as you know, once you get in this little circus or whatever, and somebody starts talking about something that's going on personal in your life, it can cause problems. And I've had to learn not to do that. Thank God Mary Ellen does not listen to the show, does not want to have anything really to do with the show. It's just our life. That is, it's been 5 years now, thank God. And that has been a godsend. But, you know, there's a couple other relationships where they wanted to be famous, you know. You'll do a podcast with me or I'll divorce you, kind of a thing. And like, this is a small bit of fame, you know, it's local fame or whatever. But even
the only reason I was ever married, if I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know. I think at first it seemed like you guys were pretty, because I went to your wedding and everything, and she was always wonderful. And she's friends with one of my ex-wives who, you know, that particular ex-wife has been married again. She's happy. I'm happy for her. You know, we still talk every once in a while and say hi.
But Russ, I've done a lot of growing up. Believe it or not, me and Kristen, my ex, we talk probably once a month just to catch up with each other. Because after the marriage, I was very, very, you know, pissed. I hated her, bitter. Yes, I was bitter, and you know, doing a lot of growing up and stuff. Because I've been going to therapy now since I've become sober and everything, and it's helped me out. I've been figuring out a lot of things and it has helped me grow up a lot more. I did a lot of bad stuff in my past and I lashed out, but I'm not making excuses for stuff, but you know, I had stuff happen to me. I had childhood trauma and stuff, and going to therapy and everything has helped me figure that out. And you always seem to be a happy guy, always, you know, being positive and stuff. Does Russ Rollins go to therapy?
Oh, I used to. Oh, for sure. Right after the big breakup with Savannah, I was so upset. Didn't know what to do because, you know, not only did we break up, but then we had to work together. And it was at that time, this was back in 2001, I think, it was tough. So I started going to see Dr. Rini. Shout out to Dr. Rini. He was awesome and he helped me through a lot of stuff. And then after that, I met another a counselor who I love to death as well, Dwight Bain. And I found it helped me a lot. I had a lot of stuff that I was viewing the wrong way, and a good therapist can help you do things differently and how you handle stuff, you know? I went and got a lot out of it.
How to make you a better person, you think?
Realizing that you can trust yourself, I think, was one of the things I learned a lot from going to therapy with Dr. Rini. I think learning to trust myself a lot more and not really pay attention to what other people think or say about me. You know, because a lot of times people can think something about you and have a preconceived notion from what they hear on the radio, but they don't really know you, you know? And I can't really change that. So it helped me realize that, hey man, I just got to know me. That, you know, if somebody thinks, oh, you're an asshole because I heard this guy say you're an asshole. Okay. You know, what am I going to do? I mean, you know? Stuff like that.
So you've had 30 years in radio. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. I remember when I first started on the show, I took a chance. Do you realize that I could have easily ended up on Jim Phillips's show? And I've always wondered what direction my radio career would have went.
Well, wait a minute. Here's how I remember it. Tell me if I'm wrong. I remember that I used to love Ron and it was Ron and Fez, I guess at the mm-hmm. time. I used to, Ron and Ron. I loved them. Then it was Ron and Fez, and then you were on with them. And I remember,
And then I was on with Bo because, Ron and Fez. Yeah, Ron and Fez. I was adopted by Bo. Like Ron and Fez picked me up for adoption, and Bo adopted me.
And then you got Bo, and then but then after that didn't work out, I asked Bo, I'm like, hey, do you mind if I call this guy? And I think I called you, and had you come in. So,
So you guys wanted to feel me out at first, and I remember I was so intimidated because, like, usually when you're an intern, you only got to meet a couple of people on the show, but you guys had like an army of people on the show at the time. It was like 7 people I had to meet, and then I had to figure out, like, you know, who could, you know, what I needed to do. You know how hard it was tending to the needs of the 7 people that were on the show at that time.
So you're talking me, Jimmy, mm-hmm, Daniel, Bubba,
Carlos,
Sienna, Carlos, and Jeff.
Yep, 7. Oh, and don't forget, Boudreaux was like on the team as well. Did I hear correct? Did he pass away, Boudreaux?
Yeah, he died. He went to Louisiana and got one of those flesh eating viruses when he went fishing.
You know, Bubba called me a couple of weeks ago, and he, you know what? I'm not going to get into it.
Bubba's another one of the people that, for whatever reason, decided he wanted to start trashing me, on social media and stuff. And here's the thing. I've always liked Bubba. So I can't hold a grudge. I'm really bad at holding a grudge, Tuttle, as you know.
I know you are. No, you are. Because you should be grinding that axe against me all the time because of all the shitty things I've said.
But Tuttle, I always liked you. And I would even tell you when you would be an asshole. I'm like, I like you, Tuttle. I don't know why you're so mad. Same thing with Bubba. I've always liked Bubba, but he called me while I was on my cruise. He didn't know I was on a cruise, but he calls
out. Okay. Is he okay? Is he okay?
He called and he said, hey, man, I just wanted you to know that I was thinking about you. I'm sorry for anything I've ever done. And I want to thank you for everything. And I'm like, very nice, Bubba. That's cool. I appreciate that. I'm in Alaska right now, so it's hard to talk, but I appreciate the phone call. And he said he was at Bahama.
Let me guess. Was it? Yeah, I know. Was it in around the Altamont, Longwood area type thing? Or was it around that area? Because
Bahama Breeze, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted me to come over and visit and see if I could take him somewhere. And I just, you know, my mom had been in the hospital, you know, my dad passing away and stuff. It's full time. I'm working my job recruiting for a big company.
It's okay to like to forgive someone, but to not really want to talk to them like that. I think that's okay. You know,
I feel bad.
I forgive Bubba, but I don't really. I mean, the things he said did hurt my feelings, especially because, as you know, I was always going to bat for Bubba, and everyone on the show was like, Russ, why are you believing what he's saying? And why do you give him all this special attention? I was taking shit for Bubba all the time. Mm-hmm. And then for him to turn his back on me, honestly hurt my feelings, but I forgive him. I've always loved him. There's only like 2 people in my life that I don't think I'll ever forgive and I don't ever want to talk to. But Bubba's not one of them. I've always liked you, you know.
Did you believe he was really in diabetes camp back in the day?
I'm a little naive sometimes. And the way he told me, I thought he really went to some camp to learn how to deal with diabetes. I didn't think he was going canoeing or anything, but I thought he had some camp he was going to so they could teach him how to handle his diabetes. So, yes, I did believe it. And Jimmy got so mad that I was so stupid. And, of course, he was not going to – he was lying again. He lied a lot.
Did you – speaking of Jimmy, I listened to the show. I'm very happy. I'm very proud of him and stuff. But when he did you guys like, I see, this is the way I picture it. You and Jimmy had worked together for so long. Russ Rollins wanted to take Jim Colbert out to a nice fancy lunch or a dinner or whatever before he leaves to go host his own show. You're proud. That's kind of like, go along and spread your wings, little one, and stuff like that. Did that happen? Did you offer him some advice, some wisdom, becoming a host of his own show? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I did attempt that. I said, hey, you know, let's talk after the show. And I don't know, it might have been the mindset he was in. I don't know. But I said, hey, man, I want you to know that I'm behind you. I want to support you. And the first thing he said in Dirty Jim fashion was, it's not up to you. It's not about you. And I'm like, no, I'm just saying, man, I'll be glad to support you, you know, and help you out. Because, listen, by that time, I was ready for him to leave, and he was ready to leave. You know, we were two grown men who had egos, who had been around each other for 25
years. Great radio, though.
Yeah, great radio, because it was combative or whatever. But we had been talking to each other for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week for 25 years, and we view pretty much almost everything differently. And remember this, he used to be married to my sister, so we used to be brother-in-law. So now that he's remarried in his family, that's your ex-wife's brother. It's a whole weird thing, you know? And so he was not receptive to my olive branch of, I'd be glad to help you. But, you know, listen, he's another one. Something about me just likes Jimmy. I don't know why. I like him, but we don't get along, really. I try to talk to him at events and stuff, and he don't want to talk. And so whatever. I've always liked Jimmy. I wish him the best. I'm happy for him. You know,
what's the maddest you've ever been at him? Like, you know, at the moment, like argument or just you've ever just been mad. But I mean, you guys always worked it out. You guys always been together and stuff. Like, I remember the story you told the first time you met him.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. And, you know, you were sitting on the couch or something. And what was that story the first time you met him?
Oh, this is from like way, way before radio. We just had our business. Well, he had just started dating my sister. And I was living at the house with my parents. So this is long time ago, and he's sitting on the couch. I come in, and they're watching MTV, and I'm like, "Oh, what's that? You know, Van Halen or something?" And he's like, "I love Van Halen; they're the best," or something. And he's like, "Who's your favorite band?" And I'm like, "Oh, I love Kiss. Man, Kiss sucks. I hate Kiss." And I'm like, "Okay, this guy's a douchebag," you know. But listen, I think Jimmy got a kick out of just trying to.
I love Jimmy.
Yeah, he's something.
All right. So back to your career. Back to your career. 30 years and stuff. You've probably had to negotiate a lot of your contracts. I've never asked you. Have you negotiated all your contracts in radio?
No, we got a. We thought we'd be smart and get a. One time. That's what I heard people do. They get agents, you know, so let's get an agent. And this agent was a big time agent for a lot of like famous sports people, but promised me that, oh, I can, you know, it's the same thing. I can do it for you too. And actually ended up getting us a lot of money. And then what I did was I split it up amongst the cast because they were going to pay me most everything. And they were going to pay everyone else small amounts. And I'm like, you can't do that. It's not just me. And I made it so everyone got really good money. That was forgotten by several people.
No. I'm glad that you brought that up because I did not even think of this question, but did it, I know Jeff Ald comes on still, but did it make you mad when you took less money to give it to people? And then Jeff Held decided he did not want to get up early and do the mornings on a regular basis, because
I did.
I know for a fact Clear Channel didn't give that money back.
We didn't get that money back. No, but it didn't. I see. Once again, I love Jeff Howell, and he just couldn't wake up that early. And I understood. So even though I was like, damn, man, that was about 80 grand. We could have split up the money. It, yeah, I didn't get mad about that. I didn't get mad about that.
But I know that it pissed a lot of people off on the show, though.
I know it did. Yeah, well, that's the thing. But if it's a rock band or any kind of a collaborative group of people who all have egos, who are all talented, you're always going to get people pissed. I mean, if people are like, why didn't you keep the group together? It would be impossible to keep that many people together with those egos, and everyone has ambitions to do other things. And I totally get that. I totally understand that. I mean, talking about Jimmy once again, I can't believe he sat, you know, being the number two guy for 25 years. I would have, you know, like, I respect the fact that he did move on. It was good that he did, you know, and I know he and I both were cool with it.
So I, you know, I used to be such a radio nerd. Remember when, was it Abbott? Was it Jim Abbott that used to do the, remember in the Orlando Sentinel, he used to write the radio thing. And Jim Abbott used to keep all the, like, every week, like, he'd come out with the thing and it would be a story about Orlando or Central Florida type radio. And I think I still have all the clippings. And I think
I got a bunch somewhere. I've got a box that's got a bunch of them. And that used to be the goal, is to get Jim Abbott to write something about you.
I remember how I was like, man, Russ is the biggest in radio. Like, he's, but I remember, was Jim Abbott, they were making a big deal about Russ was Orlando, one of a few Orlando radio hosts that are $1 million men. I remember at the time, Jim Abbott was like, yeah, Russ is getting like $250,000 a year. And, you know, that's before promotions and bonuses and stuff. And the only reason I bring that up is because me and Kevin always going out and doing the stunts and the bits, would you send us out? And you were like, that's why we were like, man, Russ is rich as hell. Because sometimes we were like, hey, we need gas. Oh, yeah, get yourself something to eat. And you would just give us $100 bill. And you were like, just bring me back the change and stuff. And me and Kevin was like, do you think Russ will remember he gave this to us or whatever?
He won't remember.
No. Like, literally, Russ, we were only part-time employees and basically interns. And, like, Kevin, I think, kept from getting evicted because you gave us a lot of on-the-street bits one week. And he was able to pay and not get evicted out of his apartment or something.
Yeah, you know, like, they paid me very well, and that's been a blessing. And I will say that I always have had the feeling of, because when we're doing the show and there's someone that's super hot and super funny or whatever, I'm like, man, they deserve some extra money for this, you know, like, they're really killing. So there would be a little guilt there, and that's why I wouldn't mind throwing, hey, look, you guys are doing great here, keep 100.
Regret doing that, though?
Huh?
Like, because there's a lot of radio hosts that would, they're going to look out for themselves and let everybody else, you know, get whatever scraps are left. Do you ever regret leaving that much on the table and stuff?
No, like, I've been absolutely so, and I know this sounds corny and it sounds like what people just say, but I mean, I really have been super lucky and blessed. And I say lucky, I've worked really hard and been able to put myself in a really good position. I shouldn't say lucky, you know, but, and the people that have been on the show at the time that they're on the show, I have to like them, you know, and if it comes to a point where we don't really care for each other, and there's a couple of those, then it's cool to split ways, you know, and it's okay to have different views or whatever. But some people just don't mix with their personalities.
No, I get it. And I can listen to the show now and I can tell that you're legitimately happy. It comes through on the product and the content that you're putting out, and you do seem happy. Everybody's joking around. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of tension or anything.
No, that's the thing. And I know there are listeners out there. If you've been listening to Monsters, you're like, oh, I love the days back when, you know, Miss Monster and this and that. And those were wonderful days. But for me and my position in my life, I feel like I'm a better radio host now and run a better show now than I ever have. The cast now for me, for what I want to do, is for me the best cast to work with that I've ever had. Angel is amazing producer. He is such a really good producer. Carlos is in a place that is it's a different than the Black Bean thing. It's, man, a totally,
he, He has changed, man. Like, it's night and day. Like, I'm so happy for Carlos.
And he's super talented. And I can't go without talking about Ryan Holmes. You know, we got very lucky when we found Ryan. You know, we started doing this competition to find the Monster Comics of the Year. But to be honest, what we were looking for were some other people who could be cast members. And though Ryan didn't win the comedy night thing or whatever, Ryan was about maybe one of the four other people, maybe, but one of the only people that could go in and do what we're doing, which is 5 hours of comedy, you know, and mix it up. Ryan has just been, you know, what, it's fun working with them. I feel like these guys all have my back, and there have been times in the past when everybody didn't have my back. Actually, they had my back, but with a knife, you know. You know, I had to deal with that for several people, and that's hard to do, you know. I feel better now than ever, huh?
You're right about comedians, though, because I remember the most uncomfortable, because, like, I think at one time you were giving me, like, signs, you know, to rush people out of the studio when interviews weren't going well. The one thing that would make you the most uncomfortable, like, you would get the comedians that could just come in and be a part of the show, be a member of the show, crack jokes about stories. But then if a comedian came in and tried to set up his routine during an interview, you would get so goddamn uncomfortable.
I try not to let that happen. I try to get them out of the. As a matter of fact, I had the situation with that last week. Pablo Francisco came in, and he loves to just start doing his Pablo Francisco voices. And I'm like, come on. I even said, "Come on, man, stop. Just talk to me. Just, you know." And he did, and it was a great interview after he talked to us. You know, it was great. Another guy that's really good at just talking to us is John Reap, who's been in.
There are two guys, John Reap and Bert Kreischer. When you have Bert Kreischer and John Reap in, you always used to get, like, see, because you like things a certain way in the studio. And, like, if a guest was sitting behind the people in Mass Control, like, it would bug the absolute piss out of you sometimes.
It's distracting.
And you did not even know. I mean, before you had John Reap on, I don't think you really knew who he was. Bert Kreischer, he was a little unknown when he came in. He absolutely murdered it when Bert Kreischer came in. That was one of the funniest things when he told that machine story on
The machine is now, it was a whole stand-up bit that he does. He told that story first to us. And when he saw we were laughing so hard during the break, he goes, "Man, I got to write that down. I got to do that again." And now he's just like, "Known as the machine." You know, he's a great guy too. You know, I've enjoyed getting to know him. He's cool.
Yeah, he's great. And then I remember when I was working on Mike Calta's show, Ralphie May remembered me when he was over there, and Ralphie would drop. You know how I said, like, you would give us 100 and bring the tips. He paid me $400 one time to get tased in the tongue, and then I had to hold the taser on my arm for over 10 seconds. And I was like, Russ, I'm not joking. This was at a time where driving from, because I was still living in Orlando, I'm married at the time, and I was driving to Tampa, a lot of gas money, and I didn't even know how I was going to get back from Tampa. I didn't even know how I was going to get back to Orlando. And as soon as Ralphie pulled that money, I was like, "I don't give a damn. Do whatever you want to." He saved me life today.
You know, before when Ralphie died, he had texted me a week before he died, and I was supposed to meet up with him in Nashville, and he was going to take me out to different bars and stuff like that. And then I found out a week later that he passed away. But the first time he came on the show, he was so cool and so nice, and he heard that it was my anniversary coming up that week. He sent to my house $1,000 bottle of wine.
Wow.
Champagne, actually, is what it was. I mean, he was a generous, super great, funny, funny guy. I really liked Ralphie May. That hurt when he passed away, and when Bob Saget just recently passed away. That was hard. He's another guy. You remember Bob Saget? We couldn't get him to leave. Like, he would stay the entire time. He was awesome.
And that's why I love that Monsters. I saw you post a picture, I think, today of the Monster Wall of Fame. I also remember the first time, like, Eddie Money came into the studio, like the very first time, and he stuck around. And I don't know if you're we got him food was catered into the thing. And they, I think they were playing Savannah's Trailer Trash and he was like eating wings. He was like, what is this garbage over the speaker or something?
What is this crap? And Savannah goes, that's me. And he goes, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that was great. I really liked him.
All right, just a couple more questions. I'm sorry if I'm keeping you and stuff.
No, I have an hour set aside.
Hopefully you're enjoying this.
You know what happened is that I started talking. Someone asked me to do a podcast not too long ago, and I said, sure, you know, I'll be glad to do it. And I don't think the guy thought I would say yes. And then when I did it, he sent me an email back and goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to press record. And he was a nice kid. And it was like, talk to Tony or something like that. And then he shut all of his stuff down. I had never heard from him. So I was saying on the air that I don't mind doing an interview for podcasts. I actually respect, I see Paul Stanley do it with people. And I'm like, that's really cool that he's granted an interview to whoever wants to talk to him. And I said I would do it. So someone sends me an email and goes, oh, how come you won't go on Tuttle's podcast? You're being an asshole. And that's why I text you. I said, hey, if you said you want me to, I'll be glad to talk. I don't care.
I just didn't want to bother you because I know you're so busy. I know like you have a set plan and things you need to do. And I'm sure people are pulling you in all types of different directions after the show and everything. But so I want to save these questions. So 30 years in radio, you've been doing this. How long do you want to do it? Have you ever thought about retirement? And if you wanted to stay in radio, would you ever consider, because I know Linda Bird just left iHeartRadio. Do they have a replacement for her? Who has taken over for Linda? Have they announced that yet?
Yeah, yeah. Her name is Guthrie, Kim Guthrie.
She was at Cox. She was at Cox Media Group.
And luckily, she's a fan of the Monster. She's a fan of talk radio. And I talked to Mike Colta and Drew Grabo, and they both said that she's awesome.
What if this happened towards the end of your career and they said, Russ, have you ever thought we're going to throw a boatload of cash at you? We want you to go into programming because you know the business so well. You can look at people. You can tell what they're doing right or wrong. Or do you think you would micromanage too much?
Radio. I do, but I like running. Here's the thing. Every show is a different heartbeat, you know? Every show is a different thing. I don't think I could tell somebody how to run a show like me because they're not me. And I don't mean that in a braggadocious way. I mean, like, they don't have the same thought process that I do. I can't tell Jimmy how to run his show. He's got to run his show his way, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has a different way of running the show. So I don't know how good of a coaching would be, you know, to trust yourself and do things you like. If it makes you laugh, then, you know, but you also can't be too micromanaging. There are things that the cast members do that I don't think is funny, but the audience does. So as a host, you can't be too strict about things.
Isn't that why Real Radio was so good, though? Because I think management kind of let you guys do your thing. The only time you guys ever heard from him was, you know, once a ratings book, whenever you had great ratings, and he said, great job. See you next ratings period.
Without a doubt. I can't thank Chris Kampmeyer and Catherine Brown enough. They would tell me, listen, we trust you. That's what you do what you do. We trust you. And they'll tell me if I'm going over the line. And for me, that's what I needed. If someone would have been all on my ass all the time, it wouldn't have worked, and it would have been it would not have been a good product. But as far as going in any kind of management, I don't think so, Tuttle. I think I'm going to just do this as long as I can. I don't have a plan B. You know, this is what I've always wanted to do. When I was a kid, I dreamed about having my own talk show and also being on the radio. Nothing against anyone who does podcasts. They're nice and they have their place or whatever, but I always wanted to be, hey, this company trusts me with the morning show. That's a big deal for me, you know, and I don't think about the money. Like, I probably could make a lot of money if I did a podcast thing, but for me, it's not about the money. It's about making my little dream come true of being, you know, the morning show host for a you know, a major radio station. So I don't know, man, like I'm 57 now. I mean, what, 10 years, I'll be 67. How old's Howard now? Not to compare.
He's getting up there. He's getting in his late 60s, I think.
And I'm not comparing myself to Howard, but I'm just saying, you know, guys that have done it for a long time and been successful. I mean, you know, Bennington, I listen to Bennington still.
I think he's bigger than he's ever been right now with all the people he gets to interview. And
love that and guy. I mean, he's the same guy, you know, Bennington's the same guy. And I think he can do it as long as he wants. I feel I can do it as long as I want. As long as we keep, you know, and we keep getting the ratings, and we were just voted number one morning show or number one radio show in Orlando Weekly, and the rating still number one. So keep that going. I think you could write your ticket for as long as you want. The thing is that as you get older, and this probably happens for everyone, you know, I'm to the point right now where I don't really care who Cardi B is, you know, like that, you know, like your interests are not the same as sometimes pop culture goes along. So, you know, I have to fight that sometimes, but I've got younger cast members that can help me with that. So, I don't know. I think I'd probably do this as
until they tell you to leave.
Yeah, until they tell me to get the fuck out of here.
So let me add, so you like radio in general. You know, syndication is worthless now in radio because of, you know, all the streaming and stuff going on. So say, you know, It's been a good run, Russ. You know, we're going to move such and such in or do whatever. But you had this big offer and a small lake. Say you got on the biggest radio station down in Key West. And they want you to do like an interview type show. Because I know you like the beach. You like, you know, all that stuff. I think that'd be a great place. And then everybody could still hear you if you were broadcasting on a small radio station down in Key West. And they can catch you on one of the apps or streaming and stuff. That's how radio has changed a lot. You don't need to be in a big market anymore. If your product's good, it's going to get caught up.
When you say that, it's like, you know, everybody should think about the business side of what they're doing. And to a fault, I don't really think about the business side as much. As soon as we got on iHeartRadio, actually, or XM Radio and iHeartRadio, I stopped worrying about syndication because my only motivation for syndication was to do the show so a lot of people could hear it. I just want people to hear it and laugh. Like, and I don't think about how much I get paid, which is dumb, I know, because, you know, there are people that, like Bubba the Love Sponge, has known how to make money at it. And I can appreciate the fact that he knows how to do that. I have never done it. I just like, hey, I want to do the show. Somebody pay me. And, you know, now we're on iHeart and we have listeners all over the world. Okay, cool. I'm happy. And I don't think about the money part of it as I should. I just don't.
Back to your YouTube channel. And I don't know if you could talk about this, but do you own the YouTube channel or does iHeart own?
No, I do.
Okay. That's really, really smart. You just said you probably didn't pay attention enough to the business side of it while you're growing something right now.
Let me be honest with that. What I was going to do was go and buy a bunch of billboards. And Carlos was the one that said, hey, man, set up billboards is old. Like, people are going to YouTube. I'm like, I've heard of YouTube. I don't know what it is. And Carlos is the one that sat down and kind of drew that out for me. I'm like, hey, listen, if we start doing this, you know, but it's going to cost, it costs a lot of money to start that YouTube channel.
No, it did. I mean, you guys have a lot of great graphics and stuff. You guys it's up and running. I like it. I remember back when we had a camera in there, there was a time where my whole entire job was just to stand in the talk studio and, you know, transfer the camera from whoever was talking at the time, you know? So it's crazy how much. Are you guys in the old studio again? I was going to ask you that. Are you guys in the original TKS studio?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Why did they move you guys out of that one? What is there now?
I don't know if one's there.
No worries.
Oh, sorry. It's Jack. Jack Bradshaw, get home.
Put him on. Come, send him the link to the thing. We can have a meeting right here.
Let me tell him. Give me a second.
I only got a couple more questions, and then they're real quick.
Yeah. We're trying to put together something for the Hall of Fame thing. Cause we're going to induct two new members in the Hall of Fame.
Any nominations so far?
Well, a couple of people I mentioned, Pablo Francisco was great this year, and he did a great job. John Reap is another one. There's several other people that we're going to consider to put on the wall. But yeah, the studio is the old studio that we kind of first started in, and then that other studio that we really were in for so long, they split it up and made it into two different studios for two other stations.
I always thought the other stations hated us because we had the nicest, biggest studio, and everybody else was all cramped up. All right,
that's not why they hated us. They hate us because we kind of got away with murder, and we always got free food. Like, that's what, you know what I'm saying? We got so much free food, and from their point of view, we got Real Radio gets so much leeway with so much stuff, and I'm sure it drives, you know, the other stations crazy. But I will tell you, there's no tension in the building at all. Like, you know, the JRR people are awesome. Roomba people are cool. We got Johnny Magic is a wonderful guy. Like, everybody does get along really well in the building.
So I wanted to ask you this. I've tried to like comment on things that Ryan Holmes puts out and stuff, you know, because I think me and Ryan Holmes would make good friends. Like, I think me and Ryan Holmes would get along very, very well. And, you know, like, I'm always trying to do new things and all this stuff. Because, you know, I mean, I did have ulterior motives. I was like, man, I think that I could open up for one of his comedy shows one time, because I thought that it might be able to break down that wall, that barrier. Because I tried to talk to him one time, because I only met him one time in person. But I mean, he seems nice and everything. He just seems like a guy that I think me and him could become great friends.
He's a great guy. He's got some quirks. He's got some of the same quirks that you have.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can you set up a buddy date between me and Ryan to you know, go out and have lunch or something? And, you know, because I really think me and him could work on some stuff.
You know, we can't even get him to go to lunch with us. He's a different cat, man. But I can pitch it. I'll be glad to pitch it.
All right. Now, you said I can ask anything. Yeah. You don't have to answer whatever you want to. So about in 2020, maybe it might have been beginning 2021, Russ did something very nice. He offered. He was like, hey, you know, you're doing your podcast and stuff. Would you ever maybe want to do some one-off things, or maybe some man on the street, go out and do some interviews or something like that? I was like, I'd be a dumbass if I didn't want to take that opportunity to be able to promote my podcast and stuff. But, you know, in true Russ fashion, he was like, look, I got to talk to my team. I got to ask them, because that's my current staff and everything. And if they're okay with it, then yeah, I'll be able to get you back on and stuff. I did talk to Jack. I heard that there was one person on the show that nixed me coming back.
I don't think that's true. It wasn't one person. There were, being totally frank with you, the guys on the show right now, I would say, defend me or on Team Russ or look out for me, right?
And I get this.
So they, a couple of them saw some of the things you were saying and were doing that I've forgiven you for, but I don't know that they have. They're like, hey, you know what? What you did was over the line with Russ, and he's our guy. So I think that affected, and they don't understand my forgiveness of things. Like, you know, with, you know, like even with Bubba the Love Sponge or with you or with other people, they don't understand why, why I do it. But there's just, it could be a flaw, but there's something in me. If I kind of like you, even though, you know, you might have, you know, we might,
but I can also, and I'm not like naming out anybody, and I get it. And I think it's great that you have loyalty to your show and everything. And I'm not mad about anybody on the show, but let's be honest, there's some people that are on your show right now that have said some pretty crappy things about you as well, too, in the past.
Probably. And remember, I'm the one who forgives and forgets and doesn't care. If those particular people don't feel comfortable working with someone, I can't make them, you know?
No, and I just was curious. And like, I have no axe to grind. I'm a new person. I love every single person on the show. I was just curious to see who it was, but I, you know, I, I just want to, and hopefully you're not mad at me for asking that and stuff. I
told you you could ask anything and I'll answer the way I can answer. I'm not going to call anyone out there. You know, I got their back too, but I mean, you know, it's probably not hard to figure out who
I could guess, but I don't know. You know what? It doesn't even do any good.
Think from their point of view, could you understand?
Mm-hmm. No, I can easily understand. Yeah. But we all have our flaws, right?
Yeah. We all cut it out.
So, Russ, man, hopefully, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, you were talking about how you've become a better broadcaster and stuff. I think doing this podcast has made me a better broadcaster. You know, it's a different type of Tuttle, you know, like instead of being the goofy and having to get out there. But I tried to come up with some pretty great questions that I thought people would be interested in, and hopefully you enjoyed it.
Tuttle, I've always told you, I think you are extremely talented. I love what you do. I wish we didn't have the bumps on the road that we had. But
I'm fine with that though. Like,
and just so you know, I'm pulling for you, man. I'm hoping that, you know, something comes around for you. I gave you a couple leads, you know, so,
no, you have. The thing that therapy has helped me out with, you know, old me would have just stayed bitter, never would have admitted his faults, admitted what he did wrong and stuff. You also got to realize I was on a lot of substances at those times, you know, and this is the first time in my life in quite a long time that I'm thinking clearly. I'm working out my issues. I think that I have progressed my life personally and professionally.
I'm pulling for you, buddy. And like I told you, I've always liked you. Even when I was mad at you, I'll still like you.
Hey, and you know what? That used to piss me off even more. Yeah, it did. It did. I was like, God damn it. I cannot. This is worthless. He's just like, I love you, Tuttle. I love you. It was like you were a monk, Russ. It was like, I love you, Tuttle. I love you. No matter what.
And here's the thing. It's not with everybody. Like I told, like Bubba the Love Sponge and I have had beef, but something about me still likes the guy. And now we're cool and we'll talk to each other every once in a while. There's only one particular cast member that I have no interest in talking to, but it takes a lot to burn the bridge with me. And I'm glad you and I are good now. I would much prefer that. I like that.
And can you just tell whoever on the show cockblock me hates me, tell them I have nothing but love for them.
All right.
I will hug them right now. And I would take. But yeah, I'm serious, though. Maybe Ryan will tell me if he'll let me take him out to lunch, because I think that would be great.
He might. Well, listen, it's not Angelique. It's not Savannah. It's not Ryan. So if you can't do the math.
I know. I already know. Okay. Anyways, Russ, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of your success. I'm glad that everything's still going well. I'm not even going to bother to ask you if you want to promote anything, because most of the people that listen to me are probably from you.
Well, you know what? I'd like to promote real quick. I would like the Majestic Monster Whiskey. It's our new project. The whiskey is awesome. It's 104 proof. I didn't make it. We had a professional a distiller who has won many awards for the whiskey he's made. Whiskey Paul made this whiskey, and you can get it at monsters.fm. It's 104 proof. It's smooth, and you can get it in your local stores. It's awesome.
Man, I could only imagine if you guys would have had that Monster liquor back in 2014 when I was last on the show and I drank, it would have been bad. It would have been really, really bad for me. What about your comic books and stuff? Are you guys still doing those?
You know, I did two entire graphic novels, and then after that realized, okay, this is not making any money at all. I mean, it was fun to do, but it's you stand at a comic book convention all day and you don't make any money because it costs that much to print
rent the booth
and be the booth. It's like, okay, this is, you know, it was fun to do. I did it. I can say I wrote two graphic novels, Big City Comics. They're still available, but yeah, I mean, I had ideas for if there was enough demand and money involved for the third graphic novel, I got an idea I could do it. But right now it's just, you know, I got to. I'd rather see the whiskey be successful or worry about the show and my marriage. You know, really, my marriage is first, and then all the other stuff is just gravy.
All right, Russ. Tell everybody I said hello. Tell Angel and everybody that I said hello and stuff. And if you ever need anything, man, I really can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Yeah, and send me a link, and I'll send this out for everybody and help help the cause, brother.
All right, thank you, Russ. I'm sorry to keep you from Jack there.
That's all right. I'm sure it's just something. We talk all day long back and forth about things, so it's probably something like that. But good seeing you, Tuttle, man. Thanks. Great questions. Awesome. If you ever want to do it again, just let me know.
All right, man. Russ, have a great day.
All right, brother. Say it.